second verse as the last. This is one of my favorites. Pearls that the poorest may wear. None of you ladies can afford pearls, can you? Not real ones. You can this one. All right, let's sing that one. Verse 2. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, who shall their greatness declare? Jewels whose luster our lives may adorn, pearls that the poorest may wear. Precious, more precious, wealth that can never be told. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, more precious than gold. Thank you, Jeanette. Now back to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. God's word becomes more and more real and precious with experience. His word becomes real and precious with experience. As you see the promises of God's word fulfilled through experience, it makes it more real to you. It becomes the real living word of God as the promises are fulfilled in your life. You see them clearly come to pass. He honors His promises. Even trials and afflictions, you go through those, the Word of God is more real to you and precious. I was just talking with Barbara on the phone. Jeanette and I were talking with her on the phone. And she was relating some passages of Scripture that were so dear to her in these last few days, and she could hardly talk about it without weeping, saying how dear and precious the Scriptures were to her. During all of this. You see, this is the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit that we're His children. You can know Scripture, you can quote it all. You can quote it. You can know it, you know the doctrine until you experience the reality of it, until it bears witness with your spirit. That's when it really means something. And Ephesians chapter 1 is one of the most familiar portions of Scripture in all the Bible, to me, and probably to you. Grace people, for lack of a better term, believers, but grace people, have to qualify believers, don't you? Those who believe and know and love sovereign grace, the God who is sovereignly gracious and merciful, they know Ephesians 1 very well. And love it. Love to hear it preached from. Very familiar to us. But here, in just the last couple of days, after reading this, it's become more especially blessed and real to my heart as a result of a recent experience. That in light of the meeting that we had the other night, I began reading this. And verse 3 just explains it all. It just made my heart well up in thinking what God has done for me and for us here. Verse 3, look at it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessing. My. God has blessed us. Oh, how He has blessed us. If I had a title of this message, it was a toss-up between three things, Terry. You can pick one. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. God hath blessed us. Oh, how God hath blessed us. That, or blessed with all spiritual blessing. Or heavenly places in Christ. heavenly places. This is a heavenly place. And look at verse 1, all right? Let's just go down through here, and I'm going to be brief tonight. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. This is one way he's blessed us, with the knowledge of his will. And what is that? That we know that all things are by his will. Right? That's a blessing, isn't it? That we know. All men and women don't know that. They think it's up to man's will. They actually think. Men and women are so ignorant and so in the dark that they actually think that eternal life has something to do with our fickle will. God's blessed us. We know all things are by the will of God, by his will. Read on. And he says, he's writing this to the saints, and I remind you, as I remind you over and over again, you need to know to whom the portion of Scripture is written to understand it, don't you? You need to know to whom this is written. These are letters. And every one of them begins with a salutation, and it names the people, which is that he's writing to. He names them, or he qualifies them. And as I've said so often, I believe that this is the leading error in our day, or the cause for all this error, is that preachers are applying the Word of God across the board to everybody, without exception. They're taking verses like this, according as God has chosen us in Christ before the past, and applying it to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. And it does not apply. They're taking 1 Peter 3, you know, and 2 Peter 3, and they're saying, God's not willing that any of us should perish. And so everybody's out there thinking God's not willing that they should perish. When that's just not written to everybody. Because God's angry with some people. And they are going to perish. So and here's the worst part of it, is they're lying on God Almighty. I would get angry. John, I'd get angry if somebody stole the letter I wrote to my wife and applied it to themselves. I'd get angry. I'm just a puny man. Well, God wrote this book to some certain people. And it doesn't apply to everybody, does it? But bless God, it does apply to the saints. That's the way he's qualifies them there, to the saints. The world says there's saints and there's sinners, don't they? That's what they say, don't they? It's two different people. They're like the Jews. You say the Jews and this is the world. There's Jews and dogs. And most religious people say, well, there's saints and there's sinners. Well, this isn't written to sinners then. To the saints. You see how ignorant, foolish men are. To the saints. What does that mean? It means to be sanctified by Christ. Pope, whatever his name, Pope John Paul doesn't canonize us. That's what canonize means. You know that, don't you? Don't be ignorant of that. When they canonize somebody, it means to make them saint. Think about that. We can make somebody a saint. Utter blasphemy. God makes people saint. The word means sanctify. How are we sanctified? By some edict in Rome? No. By the body of Christ. The scripture says it, doesn't it? Doesn't it, John? We're sanctified once for all by the body of Christ. Christ said in John 17, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. By the which we are sanctified once for all by the body of Christ. Sanctified. Both they that are sanctified and he that's sanctified are all one. It's one that's sanctified. Read on. To the saints by the will of God. That's how they're saying. Which are at Ephesus. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And that's all the people of God who are full of faith. That's another word for believers in Christ Jesus. To the faithful, to the believer. Why does anybody believe? Look at verse 19. Because God operates on them. Verse 19. We know what is exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. We believe. Why? Why aren't you caught up in this religious mess, Henry? And why do you believe the truth? It's according to the working of God's mighty power. Isn't it? You know that. You've been blessed. You're one of the saints. Saint Henry. Saint Henry, made so by God. Verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father. Grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's all of grace, isn't it? We're going to go down through here and see grace, 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 the riches of His grace, the riches of His grace. It's all of grace, isn't it? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Let's don't ever forget that. Especially in light of, you know, what we went through. Don't forget that. It's by the grace of God we are what we are. We know what we know. We are where we are. If it wasn't for the grace of God reaching down and picking us up out of the pit, we'd be right in that pit with the rest of them, wouldn't we? It's all of grace. And He says, grace unto you. He reached down and God plucked you as a brand from the burning. A brand from the burning. In the midst of all that wood and fire with no lamb. Grace and peace. Peace, how? We have peace with God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Peace with a God who otherwise should be angry with us. He's angry with the wicked. That's what the Scripture says. He's angry with the wicked every day. And I'm wicked. But I have peace, though. Why? Grace. They go hand in hand. Grace and peace. It's by God's grace I have peace. It's by God's grace He sent Christ to make peace for me. By the His chastisement of Christ. Read on. Verse 3. Blessed be God. Blessed be the God and Father. It reminds me of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. Blessed be the God. Paul must have been reading Psalm 103 when he wrote it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing, as well as physical. That goes without saying, doesn't it? That just goes without saying. See, we're talking about some little higher things here. Things that are higher and things that are nobler than just a car and a house. Oh, sure, He's blessed us with those things abundantly. But we're talking about things that last. Eternal things. Things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. And that's what, those are the real blessings of God. And God can bless you abundantly, spiritually, and you not have much physically. People down in Mexico are examples of that. Numerous examples of that, of the true blessings of God upon the people. The true blessings of, see, riches bring a snare. Riches aren't necessarily the blessings of God. And that's what this religious generation is saying, isn't it? The riches are the blessings of God. No, it might be a curse of God. Psalm 73 says that, doesn't it? He said they had more than their hearts are fat. They have more than I could want or wish for. Lot got the well-watered plains of Sodom. Abraham said, what do I get? God said, Abraham, I am thy exceeding great portion and reward. You get me for eternity. But only when Lot barely escapes with his life, you're in the rock. You're on the rock, on the mountain. Blessed be the God and Father of ours, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing. Where are these spiritual blessings? Whether in heavenly places or things in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father, and it comes through the one who doles it out. Christ. Joseph is in charge of the storehouses. He's one to decide. The Scripture says, where is it? 1 Corinthians 12, that He gives, according to the measure of the grace of Christ, He gives to each member of the court. Christ is the one. He's our Joseph. He has the storehouses of good. He decides who gets what. And boy, He's liberal. I know somebody, well, His brethren did. They went to Joseph, didn't he? He said, we just sit, fill our sacks, would you please? He said, got any wagons? Didn't they? Huh? You get what you, whatever you bring is what He fills. That's liberal, isn't it? Huh? Whatever you bring is what He fills. Try it. Bring a little cup, you get a little cup. Bring a big basket. Oh, my. I dare you, son. Myron, you say, double dog dare you. Come here some night just totally empty, broken and empty, and say, Lord, fill me. Go home full, running open. All spiritual blessing. Spiritual blessing. Life, mercy, grace, pardon, righteousness. Well, that makes houses and cars sound so insignificant. Life, mercy, grace, pardon, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, glory, glory, all spiritual blessings, blessings we're experiencing right now. I don't know about you, but I do. I know about you. I've talked to you. But these blessings now far exceed any blessings that we have in this life, even with our families and whatever it may be, the blessings of the gospel that we experience every now and then, even if it's just a taste, that we've tasted some of the grace and haven't drunk to the fullness, just a taste of it is enough to make. I've never had anything like that. But nothing tastes like that. We sang there, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Some of you, I hear you say after a service, oh, I'm so blessed. That's just like taste a little sip. Just wait. A foretaste. He says heavenly places. I like that. Don't you? He's blessed us in heavenly places and things. Words interchangeable there. Places are things. Heavenly places. This, the church, is a heavenly place. You know, it's heaven on earth. You say you go through hell at work. Well, come get a little heaven. May I be that familiar? Look over at Ephesians 3. And it says that here. The church is a taste of heaven. It's where Christ dwells. Where does He dwell? Well, it says in the heavens of heaven can't contain Him. You know what it says? Well, He says He's in the midst of the church. Doesn't it? He says, I'm right in the middle of the church. He calls it His body. Christ is, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body. He's a heavenly body. Anyway, this is a heavenly place. A heavenly place. Look at chapter 3, verse 15. Paul says, the whole family of whom, God the Father and Christ, the whole family in heaven and earth is now. See, it's one family. Part of it's in heaven, and part of it's on earth. The old writers used to talk about the church glorified and the church militant. Still in the battle. Military, militant. Still in the battle, but the church is glorified. It's still one body. And they're in heaven. We're on earth. But this says we're seated with Him, though. We're as good as there. Aren't we? Got a reservation. Got a place. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. It's there. It's good. It's certain as if we're already there. And He gives us a little dabble of it every now and then. Keep us from despairing. Oh, I quit. Wait, taste. See that the Lord is gracious. Wait, this is what's waiting. John, go on to work. It won't be long now. Taste. Keeps you going. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy 12. We've seen this together before, and it says this over and over again throughout Deuteronomy 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. You want a blessing, you go through. Well, we preached a message on this one time. Either look that up or just study the Scripture. Everywhere it says, all the way through these chapters, about five or six chapters, it talks about this. Look at Deuteronomy 12, verse 5. Under the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither, look at verse 7, you shall eat before the Lord your God and rejoice in all that you put your hand unto you and your household, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Blessed be God, according as he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, that he's called to put his name there. Look over chapter, here's another one, the same chapter, look at verse 11 and 12. There shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. His name to be exalted and dwell there. Remember when Christ said in John 17, he said, I have declared thy name and will declare it. Read on. Cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you. Verse 12. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God. You and your sons. Look there behind you, Nancy Park. Go over there. Deuteronomy 12, verse 12. You and your son, your daughters, your men servant, your maid servant, the Levites within your gate. Place God's chosen, put his name there. You'll come, you'll gather, you'll rejoice. He says you'll eat. On and on it goes throughout Deuteronomy. You'll eat there. Good place to eat. Hey, you know a good place I can eat? Yeah. Right on top of the hill above the Big River Bridge. Good place to eat. Oh, my. What a place this is. Psalm 89 said, David said, how amiable are thy tabernacles. How amiable. Amiable. You find this place amiable? It's the place where Amy's can come. Find it amiable. Amy's able to come and find the place to eat. That reminds me of y'all remember that sign was on that building the other night, right over here on your left. Did anybody look up there and see it? Did you see that? It said, Rick, at the sign up there, it said, go out where the sinners are. Did you see that? Anybody? Did they? Well, I thought, my, I think I will. If ain't none in here, I don't want to be in here. There was a little girl that went home from church one day. Hannah, you liked it. Little girl went, her name was Edith. Edith. And she went home from church one day and said, Dad, preacher found my name in the Bible. He said, Edith? No, honey, I don't think so. That's not a biblical name. Oh, yes, yes, Dad. He found it. He said, he read where it said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Amiable. My name is Edith. My name's Sinner, he said. My name's in there. This man receiveth sinner. Go out where the sinners are. Come in here where the sinners are. Right? This man receives the sinner and he is with them. That's an amiable tabernacle. This is where God is worshipped in spirit and truth. From the heart. Less you have on the inside, more you need on the outside. Right? Less you have on the inside, more you need to drum it up. More preachers are going to have to be a cheerleader. Come on now. Come on, Rachel. What's wrong with you? We're dead. That's what's wrong. We worship God in spirit and in truth. God's not worshiped with men's hands anyway. He worships in spirit and truth. How does He worship? When you hear the truth, you worship. Don't you? And in spirit, where is the Spirit of God? Where is the Spirit of God present? It's where Christ is preached. That's what He said, didn't He, Terry? In John 16, He said He'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. Christ is the truth. And those that worship in spirit, where the Spirit is, where the Spirit is moving in them, they hear the truth. And they rejoice. The next thing, they rejoice in Christ Jesus. They worship in spirit and in truth and rejoice. When He takes the truth, He shows them Christ, who is the truth. And they rejoice in Christ Jesus. The thing that gives them shouting ground is what He has done. Doesn't it? Who He is, where He is now, what He has done. Yeah, it's all right to shout. But as long as that's what you shout about. Right Him. Person and work of Christ. And put no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. These things, this paraphernalia, nehushta. You remember that? What's that name? Nehushta.
A worthless piece of brass.
Nehushta. Anything. The trappings of religion. All the religion you need is this. That's all you need. The only material necessary to worship God is a Bible and somebody to preach it. Right? That's right. Oh, blessed be the Lord God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is a heavenly place to you. Some of you have been in that mess before, haven't you? Ah, bless God, how He hath blessed us. Why me? We all ought to say, why me? Who hath... 1 Corinthians 4:7. Is that it? Who maketh thee to differ? And what hast thou that thou hast not received? Why me? Because down here in our text, it says, verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. He had chosen us. Having predestinated, read on. He's chose to save us and reveal the gospel to you. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Adoption of children by Jesus Christ. See, Christ had to redeem them. By Christ to God. God loved them with an everlasting love and set His love on them. Therefore, He drew them with cords of love, cords of a man, who is Christ, to Himself. He drew them to Himself. And why did we do all this? Why did Christ choose me? This is good pleasure, is with you. It wasn't that He saw something more worthy in me, or that there's more material in me that he could work with. It's just He decided to. Why'd you do this, Lord? That's because I was pleased to. Now, that's what makes you praise God for election, won't it? That makes you praise God for election. Got no arguing with election. Woo, praise God. Blessed be God who elected me. And you're one of the elect. You're one of the elect if... Listen. You want to know if you're one of the elect? You're one of the elect if this gospel of election is blessed to you. That's how you know. He said, my sheep hear my voice. He said, I call them. How? He just declares His power. That's all He does. He doesn't ask. When He calls, He doesn't ask anybody anything. He just says, I am God. There's none else, doesn't He? Behold my servant. That's all He says. He just declares Himself. It's the word of His power. Christ calls people the same today as He did from the beginning. When Christ walked by and Matthew was sitting there, he said, "Matthew, follow me." He didn't ask him anything. He said, "Get up, follow me." What did Matthew do? He had no choice. Matthew later on said, "I thank God he called me." Now, he's still sitting at that seat of custom. He walked through Jericho, remember, said, "Zacchaeus, get down from that. I'm going to your house." Well, Zacchaeus didn't invite him into his house. He didn't let him into his heart. Christ said, "I'm coming in." Didn't it? "Get down, get home, I'm coming in. You're one of mine." That's how he calls. And that's how you know if you want your leg. You love that. You love that. I love that. He called up. He chose up. Chose up. Hey, this is how you know if you want your leg. If you need this gospel and love this gospel more than anything else. If you need and love this gospel more than anything else. That's how you know. This is how you know you're one of the elect. If his words, if every word you see in this book is just infinite wisdom, if his word is power, is just making a noise. If his word is powerful to you, I mean, this doesn't come in word only, it comes with power. You don't see visions and signs, but you see his word. It's clearer than any vision. Huh, John? When you can see Christ more clearly than some picture hanging on a wall, you can see him. Oh, but you don't. Deborah and I were talking about this. Whether or not we try to imagine a picture of Christ. Well, no. You don't do that. You don't do that because Peter said, "Whom having not seen, you love." If you could imagine that description in Revelation 1, then maybe you could. But how do you imagine someone with a face whose countenance shines as the sun in all its strength and his feet is brass that burned in a furnace? But, you know, I've seen him just as clearly as any picture. Haven't you? I've seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I have. Well, what's he look like? Glory. Glorious. That's what. Beautiful. Describe him. It's beautiful. Beautiful. That's how you know you want to be. His words are wisdom and power and glory to your soul. Election, the very word, just sounds sweet. It doesn't have. Some people, Ron, some people, when you say that word, that's what they did. I see it visibly come over people's countenance. God has an elect. But God's people, oh, it's like balm. It's like oil poured over you. Like a big cold drink of water. Action. Huh? I'm serious. It's sweet. Christ said, that's what Christ said in John 17. He said, "I've given them the words that you gave, and they received them. Not as the words of men, but as in truth the word of God." The dreaded P word. That's music to my ears. Predestination. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Don't you love the sound of that? What about words like this? Covenant head. You say, go on. Don't you? More, okay. Mercy. Grace. The word even sounds good. Huh? Grace. They shall never perish. He's Lord over all. Makes you want to bow, doesn't it? What about Barnard's word? Purpose! Did you see that all the way through Ephesians 1? Purpose.
purpose. Verse 6, accepted in the beloved. Man, this is music to the believer's ears, isn't it? Music. That's how you know when you're one of the elect, when His words are music to your ear. That's how you know. Can you say that? I see some heads nodding. Good. That's when the Word comes, not in word only, but in power. And Christ said, He that is of God heareth God's words. Huh? And it's like cold waters to a thirsty soul. Good news from a far country. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Why? According to the riches of His grace. Verse 8. Wherein He hath abounded toward us. Oh, how He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Oh, my. So very many people are ignorant of the plainest and simplest and most elementary and fundamental truths in all the Bible, aren't they? People, they call themselves fundamental and they're ignorant of the very fundamentals of the faith, aren't they? They don't even know what happened in the garden, do they? How could you know anything from there on out? Well, you can't. If you're not dead, grace won't mean anything to you. The word live won't mean anything to you. Mercy won't mean anything to anybody but a sinner. I mean a dead dog sinner. Qualified, a dead dog sinner. Mercy won't mean a thing. Oh, how very blessed, how God has abounded toward us. Not only in the simplest truth, the simplest and the clearest truth, yet He has abounded unto us. Scripture says He said He hath revealed unto us and our children the secrets that have been kept hid. Look at verse 9. Made known unto us the mystery of His will. The Scripture says, a great light has shone in darkness. Oh, when you see the truth, it's like waking up. And it's exactly what happens when the truth comes to you. Waking up. You say, I've never seen that before. No, you were blind. We were blind. And the Savior, the same one that came by Bartimaeus, gave us eyes. Great light. The children, the Scripture says, that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Nancy, you were one of those people, weren't you? Nancy, if she could have played the organ, she'd have been playing it. You probably did, didn't you, Lance? You played your guitar and thought you was holy as holy could be, didn't you? Despising the gospel when you first heard it, the enmity reared up in you, didn't it? But God, who is rich in mercy, for as He chose you in Christ for the foundation of the world, said, she's one of mine. And He made known unto you the mystery. It was a mystery to you before. Now it's perfectly clear, isn't it? Things cleared up, hasn't it? Cleared up. Vision. He hath abounded toward us. We see things out of obscurity, don't we? And He's abounded toward us and to our children. Deborah and Vicki, Mindy, this morning I walked downstairs and was walking around. I want everybody to do something before you leave here tonight. I want you to go downstairs and walk in those classrooms, each one of them. I'm serious, especially if you've never been in them. You'll get a blessing. Tell them you'll get a blessing. You'll walk in. I want you to walk in there. In Vicky's classroom and Deborah's classroom, there's red lines everywhere. Everywhere. The scarlet lines hanging out little doors. Hanging down over walls, everywhere you look. In Deborah's classroom, there's a huge, on one whole wall is the tabernacle in the wilderness with all the furniture in it. You go down there, you want to bless her. I just stood in there for the longest time. Each one of them, go in Mindy's room, and in every book of the Old Testament is on the wall with the type of Christ in each one. Oh, how He hath abounded toward us hadn't he? Our children. Blessed be God. There ain't one church in a million people. So-called churches. Every church has the truth, but there's not one in a million so-called churches that have just a portion of the truth that we have. Just go down to our children's classroom. There's enough truth in those classrooms to save us all. Somebody go in and listen to Deborah teach on that tabernacle. She's as honorable as Deborah, who was judge of old. Yes, she is. We have a Deborah in our midst. We sure do. Oh, my, how he hath bounded toward us. Hasn't he bounded toward us? Oh, how we need to thank him for it. Verse, and I'll quit with this. Verse 10, he says that, and it's all according to verse 9, a good pleasure of his will, his good pleasure which he purposed in himself. He just decided to do it, that's why. That in dispensation of the fullness of time, he'd gather in one. Gather together in one, all things in Christ. Both of which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in Christ also, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of God who works all things after the counsel of his own will. We see the oneness of it all, don't we? Wasn't there an old song one time that said, "Oh, the wonder of it all"? You, Jeanette, "Oh, the wonder of it all." No, we see the oneness of it all. It's all in Christ. The world, this book to the world, is just so many mysterious, it's many puzzling pieces. But we see them as pieces of the puzzle. we see them as pieces that miraculously, perfectly fit together. And we've seen the whole picture. Had a face. The world is puzzled by some things. How he hath abounded toward us. And all wisdom. What's all wisdom? Christ. Is the wisdom of God. We see the wisdom of God, but we see Christ all the way through. Have you just been amazed as we go through this book and how he just... Isn't it amazing? Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, Central Baptist Church, in Christ Jesus. According as he's chosen us in him. According to the good pleasure of his will. We got reasons to bless him, don't we? All right, stand with me now. Dismiss. Heavenly Father, we can't thank you enough for passing by this, our grave, and calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We can't thank you enough for calling us by your power and revealing your Son in us, and time again being with us, opening your word to us by the way, by the broad way that leads to destruction. You put us in the narrow way that leads unto life. Lord, thank you. You put us there. Let us not take you for granted or ever be thankless. Let us continue to give you thanks. Unto you be all the glory and honor and power and wisdom and strength and blessings. Our God who loved us and chose us and put us in Christ, we thank you for everything. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.